all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
Good morning and thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Susan Buttress and I am your host today of Southern Remedies, Relatively Speaking. And I'm here with Abram Nanny. And Abram, you were playing that turnaround song.
Yeah, it's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so excited when we were going to do the previous show that we had planned. And then we messed up and didn't realize that it was that the eclipse was yesterday, in fact.
So listeners, just so you'll understand what we're talking about, Abram and I had pre-recorded a show on the eclipse all about how you should get ready to view it and what to expect and safety and mood changes and all of that. And we did that last week because both of us were so excited about the eclipse. And I was going to travel and see it in Dallas and ended up actually in Memphis, where you Memphians who are listening had, what, about a 98.5% eclipse. And that was pretty fun to watch. And so we decided, after we messed up and pre-recorded for the wrong day, since my show is on April the 9th and not April the 8th.
Oh, man.
But it was a lot of fun preparing for the show, and that's why I really wanted to go ahead and sort of do a sequel today of it, listeners, because truly this was a phenomenal occurrence, and it's something that only occurs in the same location about every 375 years. That's a long time. The next eclipse even coming to the U.S. is in 2044, and that's going to be in the extreme northern area of the states. And I think 2045, there is perhaps another opportunity for Mississippi to get a glimpse. So that's kind of a long time away for some of us. And so what I want us to do today is learn a few facts about this, not let yesterday go away too quickly so that we think through the phenomena and really understand it and really fully absorb some of the perhaps benefits of an occurrence like that. You know, a lot of people who've had the opportunity to view a total solar eclipse talk about mood and maybe even health changes, and certainly odd behaviors in the animals around them and the birds and all. And listeners, those of you who had some of those experiences, I'd love to hear from you. I think it'd be good. We would like to hear what you experienced, either with the partial, which is, I can tell you my experience on that, or the total, because I do think that there are some differences, but probably some similarities. So I think everybody knows what a solar eclipse is, right? It happens when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, and it casts a shadow on the earth, and it either fully or partially blocks the sunlight. So the a partial eclipse. Some of you may have been surprised, like in Memphis, where I was, a 98.5% partial eclipse. There's still quite a bit of light coming through. Now, what we had was when we put our safety glasses on, our solar glasses, and I hope anyone who viewed the solar eclipse had those safety glasses on, because that really is important. You know, looking at the sun directly without protective lenses always can damage your eyes. But in an eclipse situation, especially before a total, now, of course, you can view it without glasses when it's total, but completely during the partial, you should never do that, because that direct view can damage your retina.
Just as a general rule, you don't want to stare directly at the sun. As well as during the eclipse.
As a general rule, you don't want to do that. You can get retinal damage. And I think the reason they emphasize it so much more during partial eclipses is because it's easier to look directly at it without blinking or squinting. If you're looking at the sun full on, typically a full, you're going to squint and blink rapidly. But people apparently don't as much when they're if you view it directly, because it's easier to look at. So, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. As I was preparing for the pre-recorded show that we had done, one of the warning signs that was out there, and I thought this was absolutely hilarious, is not to wear your solar protective glasses when you're driving. Okay, if any of you have solar glasses and you tried them, you can't see anything unless you stare directly into the sun. And so, yeah, that was a warning that I hope most people didn't need not to wear them when they're driving.
Yeah. But anyway. I mean, it blocks out most of the sun, so let alone blocking out headlights and reflectors on the road and whatnot. So.
Right. So solar eclipses happen during a new moon, and those happen about once a month. But solar eclipses don't happen once a month, obviously. They happen about every 18 months, believe it or not. But most of them happen over areas in the world that people don't see. And so that's why we see them so infrequently. You know, I think that the moon doesn't orbit always in the, I don't think I know this, the moon doesn't orbit in the same plane that the sun and Earth do. It's an elliptical plane. So the moon's orbit around the Earth is tilted by about 5 degrees. So during the new moon, the moon usually passes below or above the sun. And so the shadow misses the Earth. So there are only a few times, a couple of times actually, that are called eclipse seasons that can happen. So here's some things that some of you may have felt. The temperature dropped, right? And something that I saw, even with the partial eclipse, is if there were any clouds that drifted across because the moon was in the way of the sun's rays and clouds drifted across, the temperature dropped significantly. Like, it felt like it was probably near a 10-degree drop each time some clouds passed by. And it got more pronounced as that, we called it, there was just a little fingernail vision of the sun when we got to the partial eclipse. That was the 98.5%. And so I hope some of you who are listening got to experience or at least looked at pictures of it, because it is pretty phenomenal as you're moving through. You know, wildlife responds differently. Now, during the partial eclipse, the birds, though, got a little bit quieter, but not totally quiet. The shadows got much sharper. That was something that we did notice during that time, which is, again, something that tends to happen. So listeners, what did you hear? What did you feel? I want to talk about some of the studies that have looked at moods and feelings that individuals have had. There's been a little bit of science about this. And so I'll tell you all about that as we're moving along, about learning a little bit of tidbit about what many of us in the U.S. just experienced. This is Relatively Speaking. I'm Dr. Susan Buttress here with Abram Nanny. Send an email to family@mpbonline.org. You could send your pictures too if you'd like for us to post them on our website so that you can share your vision with everybody. Today we're talking about the eclipse, the total solar eclipse, a phenomena that we in this area will not see again for many years. So, and in the exact location, not for 375 years. So I don't think we'll be here.
Quite a time.
It's a long time. Luckily, though, Mississippi will have an opportunity in less than that.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. So just a quick tidbit of information. We've got a couple of callers that I do want to get to, but umbrophile, those are eclipse watchers. You know how you'll have people who are tornado chasers? Well, umbrophiles are eclipse chasers. They travel all over the world. And there have been some writings by a couple that are quite interesting. A woman out of Johns Hopkins and a psychologist who has done a lot of observation and the like. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But umbra means shadow, like umbrella, shadow causer. And phile, of course, is love. And so umbrophile are those eclipse chasers. All right, let's go to the phone. We have Bobby in Pontotoc. Hey, Bobby, you got some ideas or thoughts?
I want to ask a question.
Okay.
When I was born in 1943, and when I was little, I don't remember how old I was, but that came a total eclipse. I was living just north of Meridian at Collinsville. It came a total eclipse. I mean, the stars came out and it went black, and all the chickens went and got up on the roof and went to sleep. And but what I can't remember is what year that was in. Do you know what year it was in?
I do not, but I bet Abram can help us look that up, Bobby, before we get off air. So keep listening, and we'll figure that one out. So you were born in 1943, you remember it. So
yeah, it was this side of 43, uh-huh. And I can't figure out to save my neck when that was.
Yeah.
I know it. All the stars came out. It was a total eclipse. The stars came out. You could see the stars, and all our chickens went and got up on the roof and went to sleep.
You know, you're bringing up the animal responses, and people have studied that in some of the different zoos and looked at the animal behavior. And I'll tell you, yes, typically the birds roost. One of the observers said that flamingos got in their sleep position, that the gorillas went to their they went into the doors where they get to go in the evening because they thought it was nighttime. That
I just love gorillas. I like gorillas and chimpanzees and orangutans. If you ever get a chance, go to the zoo and look at them. Chimpanzees, them the cutest little things, toting the babies around, nursing them.
They really are. And yeah, the gorillas were a lot of fun. The only animal out of all the zoo animals that were observed that really did not react were the bears. They just seemed very nonchalant, and they looked up and they went, oh, it's dark, and they looked back down and kept on doing whatever they were doing, which I thought was interesting from the psychologist's observations. But so, well, Bobby, we'll get that date for you if we can, when the total eclipse happened around central Mississippi in maybe the late 40s or 50s. Is that what you're thinking?
Remember, save my neck when that was.
Okay, we'll work on that for you. Well, thanks for calling. Okay, let's stay on the phones. We have Susan in Northwest Mississippi. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Doc. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
This is my first time on the radio in quite a long time, many years.
Well, thank you for calling. Thanks for listening, too.
Oh, thank you. I'm one of those people that did not get to travel anywhere, and so I figured out too late to get online and look at it. I didn't know that NASA was broadcasting that live on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw the end of it, but thankfully it was right as it was happening, the totality part, and anyway, it's lovely to look at. I'd never seen eclipse, but to respond to what you're saying about having people call in with what they're feeling about moods and feelings, I suffer with insomnia, but it became very pronounced. I stayed up all night. I was very agitated. I could not sleep, I suffer from a, severe sleep disorder, so that's not unusual, but I just felt it more pronounced, and then also I had more irritation, anger, and anxiety. I'm suffering from severe heartbreak in my personal life. I won't go into detail on it, but it all of a sudden I felt this more of a surge of intensity in my feelings, and I had to journal it out and write it down on paper. And I do that usually, but it was just more pronounced and it was longer. So I feel like I was processing things more acutely at that time. And I really didn't want to feel that way. I wanted to be one of those who could just go out in nature. And I couldn't find my solar glasses and enjoy that. But it was just this processing that happened. I'm not saying I have a solution to my heartbreak, but it got me thinking a lot more on it and spending time and dwelling on that, which that's what I'm suffering with now. So if that's what I was supposed to do, that's what I was supposed to do. But I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And yeah. You're bringing something up that other people have, that they feel deeper emotions, and not always happier emotions, but deeper emotions. Some people feel headachy and achy. Some have described sleep problems, although there's not been a single study that says, yes, indeed, absolutely, eclipses truly affect mood. The other thing that people have noted is that there seems to be more a collective response, that people start talking more in we's instead of I and me, that it's more the we thing, and there's more of an emotional collective response. They talk a lot about people crying during eclipses because it maybe it's awesome, maybe it brings out this incredible emotion. There's some thought that perhaps people realize how small and insignificant we are, that something like that can happen. And, we think we're so big and so in control, and nobody can control that. So perhaps some of that helplessness. Now, Susan, I will say that there has been some thought that perhaps during that time when people start feeling these big emotions, it's not a good time to make big decisions. So fine to think through, perfect to journal through like you're doing, especially on issues that are difficult for you, but not so fine to decide to make some really big decisions. And I'll just say, what did I see? 378 people got married during the total eclipse. And I'm not sure if that's a great idea. I hope those marriages last, but, you know, to do it during such a huge, emotionally generating time may not be the best time. I don't know. We'll see. So, well, Susan, good luck. I'm glad. It sounds like you're doing what you need to be doing to process through your heartbreak. And I hope you'll make sure that you don't isolate yourself. It's always good to get out and be around people and make some new friends, join a new club, a book club, or go somewhere, experience new and different people. Because I know sometimes when you go through a breakup, and this could be another whole radio show, many times when people go through a breakup, it unfortunately causes them to, if not lose, get separated a bit from couple friends. And that can be doubly hard, right?
Yeah, it is. I've been really, really struggling with this. It's devastating to me, and I am very isolated. Don't want to lie about it, but I see what you mean about the decisions being in a fragile state during then. I couldn't cry, really. I was so depressed. But I want to say one thing. I've heard that the Navajo, I'm not Navajo that I know of, but they go in and they do not go out with the eclipse. They don't.
Right.
They see it differently. And I also, the NASA on the program said that I wished I'd seen it, because they said the moon, I didn't know that, is getting farther from the Earth. And it says it's going to be 100 millions of years. It's not going to be there, and there will not be an eclipse like that.
Right.
These are very, very finite, limited occurrences. I was not aware of that. So he's saying, be thankful you're in the time you are in now to experience something like that. But I didn't know about the marriages. Yeah, at that point, I didn't go out to see the behavior of the cat or the, you know, other animal life out there. But I just, during the full moon, I get more shaky and the insomnia kicks up. So it makes perfect sense. I'm one of these people that I respond acutely to full moons, and not in a good way, get more emotional and more irritated, angry and all, and can't sleep. So it's lovely to look at, but I just want to, you know, give people a heads up about that. That it's, if you're usually on the emotional side and you're going through heartbreak or trauma, might want to I don't know what they could do. I'm not saying drinking water is going to help or anything. It's just pray more. I really don't know, but just be on the lookout. May not want to be driving at those times.
Yeah. You know, there has been some look at that. Does full moon really affect mood? And again, some people feel that it truly does affect mood and behavior, and there's something to that. So, you know, what I would do is, if you feel like it affects you, do something very positive when you know those are happening. Do something very positive that can lift your mood, like playing particular music that you love, or having a particular meal that really lifts your mood, or calling a friend or someone that you care about. Do something that can otherwise shift you into a more positive direction. So just a thought, if there's something negatively impacting you, do something positive to counter that. You can take charge of that. And so I would encourage you to do that, Susan. Sometimes even I mentioned, you know, the music, but aromatherapy too. If there's some smells that really tend to lift your mood, lavender is one of mine. I love the smell of mint too. So if ever I need something to soothe me, mint or peppermint or lavender, those are things. So think about all of that too and see what you can do for yourself, Susan. Okay. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you for being with us today, and thanks for listening. And call again sooner than years. Okay, we're going to stay on the phone before we go to our next break. We have Oliver who's been waiting. Hi, Oliver.
Dr. Butchers, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
My question is, you mentioned something about the eclipse chasers.
Uh-huh.
And I know it has to be some type of annual event because it doesn't happen that often. But the term you use, how do you spell it?
Okay. Umbra is U-M-B-R-A. And then file, P-H-I-L-E-S. Or files, yeah. So umbra files, kind of like an umbrella because, you know, the umbrella is to cast shadow or, you know, protect you either from the rain or the sun. So that's an umbra file. Yeah. I'm sorry you cut out on me.
Well, I didn't mean to cut out on you.
Say that again. Yeah.
I said your program is quite informative and I enjoy listening to it.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad I got you to repeat yourself.
Yeah, we always love to hear those positive messages.
Right.
Yeah.
Go have a wonderful day so you can get some other callers in.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling. We'll talk a little bit more about just mood and behavior as we go through something like this. And again, all of it's not negative. Some is positive, and we can talk about that more too. But join in the conversation. I'd love to hear from you and what your thoughts, your feelings, your experiences. Today we're talking about the solar eclipse and how it affected you. Did you get to see the partial or the full? Did you think anything changed in your life? Did you feel differently? Did you have a feeling of awe, or did you have a feeling of sadness? I'll tell you, the partial eclipse was really cool, and I truly almost got a bad crick in my neck from just looking up for so very, very long. But I will say I had a little bit of FOMO, that fear of missing out, because I didn't see the total eclipse.
Me too.
I know you did too. Yeah. And we talked some about it, but I still think that I got a beautiful experience. And as Susan mentioned, one of our previous callers, you can still go back and view the process, the total eclipse, because it was filmed by NASA, and I believe it's still up on their site.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. The one thing I wanted to mention was that our previous caller, I'm so sorry, I completely forgot his name, who called about the solar eclipse that happened in Mississippi the last time.
Right.
There was one in 1940, and then there was one in 1984 in Mississippi.
Hmm.
So maybe if he was a little younger than he thought, maybe he was not in Mississippi, but that's the history that I'm seeing.
The history that you're seeing. That's interesting. So it doesn't quite fit into his timeline, but maybe it was, yeah, maybe he could have been, you know, an adult then and viewing it. So hopefully it was the 1980 because he was born in 43.
Right.
So couldn't have been, yeah, before that.
Yeah.
So just a couple of quick things, too, to mention. One of our previous callers mentioned how eclipses mean different things to different people. And I know the Chinese, according to my readings, believe that it's dragons trying to eat the sun. So they beat drums to try to run the dragons away. And so that's one thing that used to be a belief. I mean, obviously in China now.
Well, they also would shoot firecrackers and fireworks off and stuff. And that's why people yesterday were shooting off firecrackers. That's where that tradition came from, was from China.
From China, trying to shoo the dragons away.
Yes.
I believe the Navajo Indians, too, believe that it's a time for quiet reflection. But nobody, and that's, again, on our previous caller, Susan, quiet reflection is good. Not a good time for big decision making. It's when you should be processing through and thinking through, but perhaps not making huge decisions. Now, I will say a total eclipse only lasts, at the very most, 4 minutes. So anyway, if you're doing a major decision about anything, maybe it's a good idea to think more than 4 minutes about it. So I'm just saying it'd be hard to get a good scientific study going on that. And that's why there's not a lot of really great research on mood and behavior changes, is that it is such a compressed amount of time that this happens, is that you have to really pre-plan, and research studies have to get approved and all of that now, and you have to be very careful that you're not going to harm anybody, and which is all great, and that's the way we should be. And that's why we have institutional review boards. But to do a study during an eclipse would be, to me, a pretty monumental feat, scientific feat. So
right, just to get the general, or not even the general, it'd be a more specific description of how people are feeling in the times. And I've always wondered, like, if it applies in the same manner as, you know, people who are seeing like the Northern Lights for the first time, or like when Halley's Comet comes around. I wonder if it's a similar feeling, or
how small we are.
Yeah,
and
I wonder if that's more what it has to do with, and not as much, you know, the moon affecting people's moods. I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I'll tell you in a couple of minutes after we get to Charles on the road about some of the research that's out there. So we'll get back to that. But let's go back to the phones. We have Charles on the road who has some eclipse experience to share with us. Hey, Charles.
Hey, Dr. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, we're from Melbourne, Florida, and we drove all the way up to Perryville, Arkansas to catch the experience. It's 4 minutes, 7 seconds.
Yeah? And how was it?
It was amazing. We were standing there, and we're like, we can understand how early man must have thought when he saw it. It's just awe-inspiring.
So were you around a big group of people?
Well, it was funny. I guess we made, you know, you do a little research. You want to try to get the most time out of it you can. And
right.
We ended up going, I was going to go a little further north and decided to go to Perryville. And it turned out the local high school had an astronomy club showed up from Michigan, and he was using their field. So there was a little group of people specifically planned to go to that school. So they had the football. They were out in the football field, and I set up my gear out in the parking lot. There were, you know, it was a small group of people.
Yeah.
And so we had an announcement. He was announcing as things were going and the check to the planets. You'll start to see stars. So it was really turned out to be a great experience.
Did you find that people all of a sudden were sort of collectively together, that they were doing the we and us rather than the I and me?
I think it was a lot of wows, and it was just everybody was like a rolling wow emotional thing. I came with my girlfriend and she started to tear up. It just hit her so emotionally.
That tends to be one of those emotions that that is documented often, is that many people feel very deep emotion, and many tears are shed. I have to tell you a story. My daughter was in Kentucky, and she said that they were all viewing it and how amazing it was. And right before the total eclipse, she heard some people singing happy birthday to someone else. And then another woman right beside them said, "It's my birthday too." And it April the 8th is also my daughter Erin's birthday. And so there were three people celebrating their birthdays together right within that little circle of viewing. I thought that was an interesting phenomenon right there.
I mean, my birthday's April 10th, so I got one more day.
One more day.
Well, happy early birthday.
Yeah, early birthday.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, but it was worth it with definitely Umber Files, because, you know, 1,200 miles there and now 1,200 miles home. We're cutting through Louisiana right now.
Ah, very good. Okay, I have another question for you since you were in the total. So have you heard of the Purkinje effect?
No, what's that?
Okay.
Oh, he mentioned that. Go ahead.
What color changes? Okay, so what happens during right before the eclipse, when you get to the deep twilight before the full? Apparently, I did not get to see this. Greens get very bright, and reds turn brown. And so the recommendation for people who were viewing the total eclipse is to wear red and green so you can see that sharp contrast. And so I don't know if anybody told you about that before you viewed it, but the next one you see, wear red and green.
I guess I hope I'm here for it. What's that going to be? I have to go up north in about 24 years.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Actually, yeah. Or you could go to Spain in about 5 years, I believe. So.
Oh, great. Thanks. My girlfriend just heard that. She's probably planning a trip already. I guess it's going to be my 60th birthday, too, so we'll have to do that.
There you go. Well, Charles.
No, it was like I said, it was an amazing experience, and I wish it was something you could do every year so everybody could see it.
Yeah.
But
me too.
That kind of makes us, we're a special group of people, I guess, right?
Yeah.
We have to share the story.
You do. Share it with everybody and tell them about how amazing it is. And I think those shared experiences mean a lot for other people so that we can vicariously live through your experiences. Those are good. Good.
I totally agree. And I got to share with everybody. I got to talk to you.
Yeah. And they can listen to it on podcast again. So.
Yep. That's great.
Okay, Charles, for real, since you're from Florida, I will tell you and the listening audience, if you want to listen to this show in its entirety or any other show, you can go to your favorite podcast app and search for Southern Remedy, Relatively Speaking, and look for this date, and you can listen to it. So, all right, well, safe travels, and I hope that you get to see maybe the next one, you and your girlfriend in Spain. That would be fun. All right. I'm Dr. Susan Buttress here with Abram Nanny, and we're talking about the eclipse. What you experienced yesterday, how did it feel? Did you feel that sense of awe? Did you feel very small in our big, huge universe? I think many people did. And as our last caller just said, Charles, many, many people got even teary and emotional about it. And that tends to be a common reaction. There was a study that looked at the social effects after an eclipse back in 2017. And the people in the path of totality back then generally said that they experienced feelings like they were part of a collective. that they belong to a particular group now. So those of you who viewed it in totality, maybe you are a collective now. The researchers found that astronomical events like that may really play a vital role in getting people aroused with awe and to have social tendencies that tend to orient away from being just an individual and more to be part of a whole. To me, that's a really good thing. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, whenever you can connect with someone on another in any way, just about, it's a good thing to feel like you belong with some people.
Yeah.
Or you, especially, you know, the eclipse didn't discriminate. Like, there was all sorts of people that came out and wanted to see the eclipse. And so, like, the diversity that you could see around you and feel belonging with, you know, very, very positive for that group of people.
Right. I love Charles's story that we got people from Michigan coming down to the south to view, and Floridians coming up. So I think just that collective piece is such a positive. You know, it brought members of my family together. We went up to Memphis to be with my sister and her husband. So now, when you look at, so those are emotional feelings, right? And so there was a study done 40 years ago, it's old, that out of India, in the Indian Journal of Psychiatry, that did draw blood during and after the total solar eclipse. And they did this on institutionalized patients, which you cannot do now. I will just say that's not done nowadays. But they did it. They looked at people with mental illness. And at the time, they were called schizophrenics and manic depressive psychosis. Not sure if those diagnoses would stand then. But they measured prolactin, which is a hormone that is out of the center of the brain. It's got so many different functions. And prolactin can be raised during positive mood. They also measured cortisol, which is a stress hormone that is produced. And they found that there were some wider fluctuations in those two. Now, since then, there have not been any studies that really verify that. But, you know, again, were those stress hormones going up because there was this odd feeling that some people get, this emotional sense of awe, and you don't know how to process it or not? That is hard to know. But the reason that we're pretty certain those feelings of collective gathering occurred is because there are a couple of researchers out of Johns Hopkins who looked at the postings on what was then Twitter, and it was much more posting toward the collective, the we and us and our world and our space, rather than my space and you. And so, again, I think that's one of those positive things that can really come out of those feelings of awe. What do you think, Abram?
I definitely think that it's one of those things where, like we've said, like you view it and then you're connected to the people around you. And I think that when you, like the study that you're talking about, I mean, it's very possible that someone could have seen that and then just been. I saw a tweet where someone was like, yeah, I realize that we live on our world, but, you know, when you see something like the eclipse, you realize that we live on a planet and there's other things going on around it. And, you know, it throws off your routine. So I think it's very possible that, you know, for mental patients back in the day who might not have known what was going on to have been stressed by the sudden changes in the sun and the daylight.
Yeah, and again, I think just remember the awe, just remember the positive collective feeling, and let that stand with you and stay with you instead of letting it go away as quickly as the eclipse did, because it certainly was short-lived, though there was a lot of wonderful positive excitement about it. So I hope all of you enjoyed it. I hope maybe you learned something today. I know a couple of people learned about umbrophiles, and so you may be maybe will become one of them. So I really enjoyed having our callers, and I hope, listeners, you enjoyed this show. And there'll be many more to come for you to enjoy. Southern Remedy is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio, and funding is provided in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and support from listeners just like you. If you'd like to hear the show again or any past episodes, you can listen to the podcast on your favorite app by searching Southern Remedy, Relatively Speaking. This show is a production of MPB Think Radio, engineered by my producer, Abram Nanny. And Abram, who was our call screener today?
I'm not entirely sure. I believe we had some of our interns.
Interns. Okay. Well, thank you, interns. I'm Dr. Susan Buttress, and I hope you'll join us next Tuesday at 11 for Relatively Speaking. And stay tuned for NPR's Here Now, coming up next right here on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.